Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtcast. Cole Pettum here, as always, and we're here to talk about Aston Villa 2, Newcastle United 0. All 3 points going to the Villa, of course, back to winning ways. Great to see, and a very comfortable win, to say the least. But of course, there is always guests on here. You wouldn't want to listen to just me, of course. And that guest, of course, the first one, I should say, is Danny Raza. So Danny, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm coming off the back of that. You know, off the back of that match yesterday, and just really relaxed. Had a really, really relaxing football match in terms of watching the Villa. And it was one of those, for the first time in a long time, where I didn't, you know, leave with my body overheating and, you know, my heart pumping, basically. Routine win. Loved it.
Yeah, I know. And it's always great because, of course, me and Danny will message each other throughout the match. And, of course, I'm trying to arrange ahead for the next podcast and making sure he wants to come on. And it basically will depend when we record on how Danny is feeling. So I can kind of garner how Villa are doing and how things are going to go. So it should be a good episode nonetheless. But, of course, we have a first-timer on, of course, that is Simon O'Regan. So hopefully we can get him more involved on here throughout the forthcoming rest of the season, I guess I should say. But, Simon, as a debutant, how you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, yeah. Sort of like Danny said, really, just coming back very relaxed off the back of that game. You know, I think it was definitely the most comfortable 90 minutes that we've had this season. Yeah, just brilliant performance. Happy days at the moment down at Villa Park.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of a weird one, isn't it, Danny, to think of Villa, and I mean, probably for the last 10 years, and think comfortable win. But this season, it just feels like we can stick in second or third gear and still pull off points, can't we?
Yeah, that was the thing with the Newcastle game. Villa definitely weren't at their best. Like, there was definitely a bit of complacency in the second half, but just, you know, without going into specifics, I just think that the team just did their job. Like, the defense did their job. You know, Nakamba and Luiz were incredibly efficient from midfield. We created enough opportunities that you'd expect to score one or two of them, and that's what happened. On a more clinical day, you maybe score three or four, but I have to say this about Newcastle and just, you know, with everything surrounding Steve Bruce. And, you know, like, this was quite easily the least competitive side to have played Villa all season, bar maybe a 10-man West Bromwich Albion side who, to be fair, kept it at 1-0 till pretty late in the game, if I'm remembering correctly. So that's where I'm standing at the moment. But yeah, routine win.
Yeah, like, I think the weird thing about this whole game was where it's a typical Villa thing to kind of go into the game with some confidence a few days before, and then when it comes up to the actual match day, you're thinking, oh, well, crap, you know what, this is actually going to happen. We don't know how this is going to go, and would it be oh so typical Villa to lose points here against Steve Bruce, of course, and they're struggling, and I'd imagine he's probably on the way out here soon. I mean, that club's an absolute mess, and I do feel for those fans because we were in that kind of mess not too long ago, and we know how it feels, and it just sucks. But Simon, I'll pan it to you because it's a great win, and I mean, we didn't even have to be fantastic, as Danny said there, but it's just nice to know going into games that you have that confidence. This team has that prowess, and we can just go into it just feeling with full confidence, really, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, sort of, yeah, as you say, leading the day leading up to the game, I was really confident. But then, yeah, just beforehand, that, I think, it's just being a Villa fan, you have that little nagging doubt in your mind that, oh, then what if they somehow sneak it? But, I mean, sort of the opening 5-10 minutes, you can see why Newcastle are struggling so much. And, you know, once we went 1-0 up, at no stage did I ever feel that any threat was coming from Newcastle. I mean, we looked so comfortable. I mean, I kind of actually say we didn't get out of second gear because we didn't have to. And I mean, it's been a long, long time since Villa have been in the position where they haven't had to be at their best to win games, even against struggling teams. You know, we've so many times in the past, we've kind of really struggled to put away teams that we should be putting away comfortably. But you know, yesterday, I thought it was just such a thoroughly professional performance. I think that's probably the best way. It was professional. There was no need to get out of second gear. So we didn't, which when you think of the sort of amount of games that we've got in such a short space of time, it's nice to know that they can sort of ease off a little bit and not have to go full throttle so that they've still got some, you know, energy left in the tank for the future games coming up. But no, it's just really, really good to watch and some excellent football at times as well. I thought, I mean, sure, we'll get on to it a bit later, but I thought Traore was outstanding and he's really, really looking a top quality player at the moment. But yeah, as I say, just brilliant from Villa and from a Newcastle point of view. I mean, I used to not quite like them, to be honest, because I was never too keen on their fans. But I think I've even got to that stage where I'm just feeling sorry for them now, because if you're watching that week in, week out, and when you look at where Villa were last season to how we played this year, you must be, as a Newcastle fan, you must be looking at Villa with such jealousy and envy, really, thinking, why can't that be us?
Yeah, I think when you look at them, they must be feeling like, oh, these guys got rid of Steve Bruce, and look what came after that. So if we can get rid of them, what might come next? I mean, they have more major issues, I guess you could say, with ownership and all that kind of absolute insanity going on. And I think that's where I feel for the most. But let's break right into the game, of course, because to be fair, we started off a little slow for the first few minutes, and you could kind of see Newcastle's fullbacks, swing backs at this point, kind of really be utilized throughout the game, and they were ever present in the first few minutes. But the storm was just waited out for the first couple minutes, and then 13th minute, Ollie Watkins finally gets a goal. Danny, how good was it good to see him get a goal? Because I mean, it's been what, 9 games on the bounce without one. He scores here, and I guess to add on to that, I want to get your thoughts on this too. I mean, we always expect some kind of VAR controversy when it comes to Watkins scoring. But how nice was it just to see him score? Because it's been kind of enough BS, I guess, for him not to score. And just to have one go in the back of the net and it go so smoothly, what's that feeling like for you?
Yeah, I think first of all, you know, I wouldn't quite call Newcastle's opening a storm. It was more like a gust of wind, if anything. But I think you're like, you know, if anything, you're ever so slightly worried as a Villa fan that they got to see out the first few minutes, and they did. You know, you never know with like Wilson and Carroll up there, target men. The plan was clearly to just keep whipping crosses into them, but lo and behold, it was one of our crosses that got the opening goal, and that was, you know, Matty Target does a tremendous job. First of all, you know, Target's been an outstanding performer, I suppose, so far this month. You know, if you're looking at who's been Villa's best player in January so far, Target's probably like up there. So brilliant for him to whip that in. And quite funnily enough, you know, similar sort of rule in a different situation to what happened to us the other day with Rodri against Manchester City. The defender plays the ball, so it doesn't really matter that Watkins is ahead of him. The defenders come in, I think it's Cher, and he's, you know, gotten at the end of that ball to try and get it away. But you know, Watkins is in the right position and he puts it in. It's quite interesting with Watkins because he actually did get another goal disallowed for offside later on in the game. But it's one of those things where as a striker, he's so close to the shoulders of the defenders that you just don't know when he's gonna cut loose. And as a defender, it's a very, very difficult thing to keep your eyes on. But yeah, no, end of a run without a goal. And hopefully that's... yeah, gonna start a scoring run, I'd like to think.
Yeah, and Danny, of course, you mentioned he scored again, but of course it was waved off and frustrating. I probably yelled at my TV more in anger than I ever have. It felt like, I don't know why. I just want him to score because it seems when he scores, it's in bunches. And the confidence I think that it brings to him is second to none. But Simon, I'll come back to you. I mean, it is a big goal for him for confidence-wise. And of course, we all know he does so much more off the ball, and that's always great to see. And the amount of space that gives players like Ross Barkley and Jack Grealish is absolutely astonishing. But what did you make of his performance yesterday?
His performance yesterday, I thought, was pretty much what he's been doing even for the last 9 games. The only difference was he managed to get on the score sheet. As you say, it's not just the goals. There's certain strikers, like, for example, Callum Wilson at Newcastle. he's a goal scorer. If he's not going to get you goals, he's not really contributing. But if you look at Watkins, his hold at play, because he doesn't look the most physically imposing of strikers, but he's got some real strength about him. I mean, I remember obviously the Liverpool game, but he bullied Van Dijk, which I've never seen a striker do before. So his overall play, you know, he can runs the channels really well. But when the ball, you know, when the ball gets cleared up from the defence, it stays with him, and he can then bring the likes of Jack and Ross, Traore into play, and it's a real good sort of focal point for the attacks. But he can also do that other bit going in behind. And yeah, I'm like yourself, I'm just really pleased for him that he's had a goal and it stood, because I think certainly the West Ham one and probably even the West Brom ones that were disallowed, I think you could, you know, they were quite dubious. So it's I'm just really pleased for him. And he seems like he's got his head screwed on as well, and his feet like firmly on the ground. He's not, you know, when you listen to his interviews afterwards, he speaks quite well, I think, and sounds like he wants to keep working hard. So yeah, hopefully this will just be the start of another sort of purple patch for him.
Oh, absolutely. And I think I'm just looking at some stats here. It's interesting to see he's leading in one of these, and that's aerial battles won. So second and third is Tyrone Mings and Ezri Konsa, respectively. But first is Ollie Watkins. He has 65. The second closest is obviously Tyrone Mings with 48. So I think that speaks to his hold up play, what he can do going forward. And albeit he might not look on screen perspective as a big enticing striker center forward that can hold up the ball, he just puts his body kind of like Grealish does, in the sense of in front of the ball, it's so hard to get it off of, and that space that he can create, just bringing it down is second to none. And Danny, I'll come to you, because we're going to go into the second goal. And of course, it's that man, Bertrand Traore. I mean, I think a lot of people were starting to press the panic button a little, well, you probably could say way too early with that signing, saying, what's the purpose? He just doesn't seem like he's going to get the opportunity, and on and on and on. And I think, what, that was his fifth goal this season. So what did you make of that wonder strike, and how pleasing is it to see him do well?
Oh, mate, I damn near screamed when that went in, because it was a rocket. Do you know, like sometimes, you know, you see them videos that are like satisfying things. Do you know, like, I like that you see the DVD thing, like, hit the corner. Do you know the loading screen? You know what I'm talking about. It was a bit like that. It was just really satisfying, because he just banged it in. But, like, more than anything, it was the way that was set up. You know, first of all, great to see a goal from a corner. Second of all, Traore, basically, he controls it. He kind of uses his right foot to put it in front of his left foot, you know, bamboozles the defender, finds Jack. Jack's assist is brilliant as well, to be able to find Traore with his left foot so quickly. And you know what? When people talk about Bertrand Traore, you know, having a really weak right foot, have that. Just very well struck. Yeah, good goal.
Yeah, fantastic.
He's becoming prolific
goal
as well.
Yeah, I think it's even better when it hits the crossbar. Any goal that hits a crossbar and goes down, it's so pleasing, the sound, the visualness of it, I guess you could say, if that's even a word, I don't know, but it's just so pleasing. And I think it's proving a lot of doubters wrong. And I think he scored two goals with his supposed weak foot. So me kind of banging on about it earlier on the season makes me kind of look like an absolute tool. But nonetheless, I'm happy to be proven wrong. And just looking at our goal scorers this season, kind of going into a general standpoint, it's great to see, of course, just in the Premier League alone, you have Ollie Watkins on 7, El Ghazi on 5, Grealish on 5, Traore on 4, Ross Barkley and Ezri Konsa both on 2, funnily enough. It's just kind of great, isn't it, Simon, to see the goals being shared. It's not so much the last time we were in the Premier League with Benteke and we just relied on him so heavily to basically do 90% of the work. It's really nice to just kind of see everything being shared, and we don't really have to be, I guess, quote unquote, Jack Grealish FC anymore, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, it's really important as well, to if you want to be getting higher places up in the table. You know, if you look at the teams that finish in that sort of top 6, 7, 8, they score a lot of goals. And if you don't have a striker who's going to get you, you know, 25-30 a season, then it's vital that it can be spread around the team. And as you say, it's nice that teams don't look at us like they did last season and go, well, if you stop Grealish, you stop Villa, because there's so many more options now. And yeah, just like to have the goals being shared about the team, and even, you know, Konsa getting a couple of them centre back. If if your defenders can chip in with sort of 3, 4, 5 a season, you know, it all adds up. And it's great to watch as fans, because it's been a while, well, a long time since you've been able to sort of look at the team and think that there's goals all over the place here. You're not just trying to feed it into the one person all the time. Traore, that goal was just beautiful. As you say, they do look so much better when they come in off the underside of the crossbar. But I think he's been excellent, and especially, you know, this. I think what a lot of people maybe didn't quite appreciate was, obviously, he came from Lyon, and they, I think, got to the quarterfinals or the semi-finals of the Champions League. So Traore didn't really have a pre-season. So you're not only is he coming over to sort of a new league, but he hasn't really done any proper work. So it was always going to take him, I think, a bit of time just to get up to the speed of things. And now having him sort of showing the performances that he's capable of, it gives us so many more options. I mean, Trezeguet, you know, we all like him. He works really hard. But Traore, I think, just does offer that something different, just that little bit of proper quality in the final third. But, you know, it's good to have those options, I think. You know, they're definitely really positive.
Yeah, and I think it kind of answers a bigger question that I think a lot of Villa fans had on earlier in the season, especially in the summer, with the shortened summer period and break going into the season, was, okay, we need more wingers. And of course, you bring in Bertrand Traore. We already had Trezeguet. We already had El Ghazi. And of course, Grealish plays out wide, so that kind of fulfills that as well. But you're now looking at it going, you know what? El Ghazi's doing a job. And we saw earlier, before Trezeguet got hurt, he can do a job. And you saw how hardworking he is. And when he came on, he almost had a goal. If he could just put a little more power on that, that probably would have went in. And it's just great to see that there's players that we wrote off last season saying they're not good enough, and they're finally coming good. And I don't think it speaks to them as a bad signing. I think I wouldn't even say it was a bad structure. I just think it takes a long time, and it can with certain players, to kind of understand and to fully grasp a philosophy, a play style, and to adapt to that successfully. And I think we're starting to see that now, that there's that buying in. And people will talk about certain managers tactically being like Pep and Mourinho being brilliant in certain instances and all that kind of stuff. But I think when it comes to management, it's psychological. Like, you see this in especially American sports with the NFL, and coaches will come out and say this too. And I don't want to make this North American centralized, because here come the, the gimmicks for me being Villa fan. But
do it, man.
It's,
it makes you special.
If anyone's ever obviously watched Netflix and ever watched the American football series Last Chance U, basically they cover different college, community college teams. And one of them's a kind of a rough and tumble guy. And he basically says the whole aspect of coaching in any sport is if these players will basically buy in and almost die for you. Obviously not die for you, but they buy into that culture and that mentality. And that's what a lot of sports is. And I think that's what we have now under Dean Smith, and the whole kind of ethos of the club is going in the right direction. And now that everyone's buying into not just his playing style and what he believes, but the structure all the way from the top, we're finally getting things right. And it's been a hell of a long time coming. So I guess in a simple way, Danny, I'll pan this back to you. It's great to see, but I want to talk about Ezri Konsa before we do our match balls. And actually, before I read out the Twitter comments, because I forgot that last time and I feel terrible when I forget. But with Ezri Konsa, I think he's only been dribbled past once now this whole season. I mean, how much of a gem has he become in such quick succession? Because he's kind of went from this center back where we thought, okay, he can be something eventually. But I don't think many of us thought he'd be this great this quickly.
Man, he's so good. You know, look, for like him and Mings together as a partnership have to be the best centre-back partnership I can remember for a very long time. You know, it's even getting into that territory now. It's getting into that territory where you've got to look at, like, Lausanne and Melberg and think, do you know what? Like, are these guys just as good? Do you know what I mean? But, you know, who knows? Who knows? It could all flip backwards, at some point or another. Hopefully not. But look, you know, There was parts of that game yesterday where Ezri Konsa just bullied Newcastle. You know, he was picking the ball up from the forwards like it was nothing, intercepting it at points. He was dribbling into the into the opponent's half. You know, there was one where he kind of almost ran down the left wing, if I remember correctly. But yeah, no, Ezri Konsa is developing so well. And people even talk about, you know, oh, Konsa should be getting called up to England instead of things like Southgate needs to get him on the... Look, it's not just Konsa, it's a defensive mentality. It's the way that Villa have been defending. It's the way that they've been defending as a unit. Smith knows exactly what he wants of his centre-halves. And Konsa is just that. It's the reason why when, you know, I don't even remember if we... Yeah, we did a podcast, didn't we? It's the reason when was mad about the whole Manchester City decision. He said that he doesn't want Mings booting the ball all the way back to Man City. He wants him to control it. That's what him and Konsa both have. They've both got brilliant ability with the feet in a way that not a lot of centre-halves do. You know, Konsa's basically in the John Stones school of defending in a way. But it's definitely getting to that point where you've got to hold him up there with like Joe Gomez, John Stones.
And yeah, I think the other player I kind of want to talk about is Matty Target, and I'll move this over to Simon because I think you would agree, Simon. A lot of people were saying this is probably the one position left back that we're going to need to improve here soon. And now you look at it and thinking, well, where's his chance for England? He's doing better than some of the usual left backs. And considering all the COVID stuff and him going through that and just his overall performances, not only the last two games, but this season so far, what have you made of him?
I think he's been outstanding this season. I understood where people were saying that when you looked at the starting 11 at the start of the season, you'd maybe say left back is the area where you could improve on next. I didn't necessarily think that it was a major priority. Some fans thought, I thought some of the criticism Target got last season was way over the top. Yet he wasn't outstanding, but it was never as bad as some people try and have you believe. But to be fair, this season, I think he's really stepped up a lot. He's always been good going forward, but it's defensively this year and defensively against quick players. When last season, I remember, you know, especially against Adama Traore and wingers, he had real pace. He struggled with, but you look at how he played against Traore this year, how he played against Sterling the other night. His tackling has really improved. I think he's just one of a number of players who, under a good manager and a good coaching team, have improved. You know, obviously you look at Douglas Luiz and the improvement that he's made, the improvement Konsa has made. But yeah, the Target, I think he's been really good. And like yourselves, actually, after the game on Wednesday, I was kind of looking at it thinking, do you know what? If looking at the in-backs in the Premier League this season, I'd say over the course of the whole season, he's been the best. Luke Shaw over the last month has been really good. Ben Chilwell has struggled at Chelsea. I'd certainly think that he'd be worth a look, or, you know, should be in contention for possibly getting an international call. Because it's not as if England are blessed with great left-backs at the moment anyway. So, Target, I think, is done really, really well, and yeah, hopefully it continues.
Well, I think they should just put the Villa back four in the England back four. I think that works, because you know what? I think we had the most clean sheets, if I'm right in saying, this season. So something's working. So you might as well. I think it'd be a beautiful thing to see. I doubt we'll see it, but nonetheless, you never know. But let's go over to the Twitter comments. I'll just read out two or three now. And of course, thank you to all of you listeners who always get involved. Of course, if you want to tweet us post-match, it's at 7500 to Holt. So I will just go to the first one, and that will be David Bladden saying, nice to see us looking so comfortable. Traore's best game yet. Konsa and Target outstanding. We're getting better and better. Best game from Nakamba. Two good defending and tidy in possession. AVFC Calm just says marvelous and sends a picture of Marvelous Nakamba's face. I very much like that. Kind of surprised me when I opened it up very early this morning, but nonetheless, always great to see. Paul Brooks says good first half, never got out of first gear in the second. Earliest win we will all get all season. Target was man of the match for me. Nakamba and Ezri also did very well. Genuinely can't wait for the next game to come. And we'll finish it off with Jack Susnan saying Newcastle are terrible. We did exactly what we're supposed to do. Can't complain about a clean sheet. So thank you all, of course, for getting involved. You can tweet us, like I said before, at 7500 to Holt. But Danny, let's get over to our match balls before we kind of preview Burnley here very quickly. So who would you give your match ball to for the Newcastle game?
It's a difficult one for me. Bertrand Traore, Ross Barkley and Jack Grealish all would tell you that they are the man of the match, judging by their reactions at getting subbed off. Ollie Watkins definitely is in with a shout because the way he played, I thought he was brilliant and just good for him to get a goal and saw some real trouble. Bertrand Traore, again, had a very, very good game, brilliantly creative on the right-hand side and always looked a threat. But probably because it might be the only time he gets it all season, I'm going to go for Marvelous Nakamba. Just, I've been a massive advocate of Nakamba coming in, and I genuinely hold him up there. I think that if you have to take out a midfielder in the Villa starting 11 and put him in there, you don't notice that anybody's gone. McGinn's brilliant, obviously. What I'm trying to say is we didn't actually miss him against Newcastle. I think Nakamba did that job brilliantly. Okay, you know, coming up against the Liverpools, the Manchester United, it's a little bit of a different story. But what Nakamba showed you yesterday was that he can come in there and not put a foot wrong all game and trouble a Premier League midfield in terms of his tackling. But yeah, that 99, I think it was 99% pass success, which over the course of 90 minutes is brilliant for a midfielder, and just looking like a really classy player who has improved. And again, another one of those players who just seems to be in tune with that Villa system now. So I'm going to go on Nakamba.
Fair enough. Simon, how about you?
I think there's a couple of players. I thought, you know, I'd agree Nakamba had a really, really good game, looked really comfortable in there. I'll go for Traore because I just thought not only was the goal brilliant, but every time he got on the ball, they looked absolutely petrified of him, and it caused them a lot of problems. He looks a really clever player, and I'm looking forward to seeing how him, Jack and Ross sort of combine together going forward for the rest of the season. So yeah, I'll go Traore.
Fair enough. I'm going to go with Matty Target. I think it's more than fair. Yeah, I don't really think he put a foot wrong. He's done incredibly well over the last two games. Of course, we're just rating it on Newcastle, but he doesn't really put a foot wrong. He's just, his game has gone from the next level to the next level to the next level. I just think the options he brings, bombing down the left and the relief that brings to both Jack and to Ross Barkley, and I've said this, I feel like, a million times, I think it's unparalleled how well those three work together, and especially with Ollie Watkins giving even more space. I think his kind of crossing ability is underrated as well. So I'm going to give it to Matty Target. But yeah, so that's kind of the wrap up of the Newcastle game. Let's get on to Burnley, of course, because we play them on Wednesday at Turf Moor. So we'll just kind of go over this briefly, our brief thoughts, of course, because I think we just played them, it feels like a month ago. Everything coming so thick and fast. But Danny, I'll pan it to you. How are you feeling about this one? Confident, of course?
Yeah, okay. I'll be as quick as possible. I think Burnley have improved over the last few weeks, I think. We have a look at their record, actually. They got the win over Liverpool. They thrashed Fulham in the FA Cup today. In general, you know, haven't been conceding many goals. We saw that they made lives difficult for us before. We couldn't break down their defence. They were just so, so difficult to kind of get an attack against. But having said that, I think we're a little bit more potent now. I think Traore has had some more time to bed in. Grealish, Barkley's back now. I think if we find a way through against Burnley, I think we'll go. I think we'll win it. Dyche has them playing good football, and there's a little bit of positivity around Turf Moor at the moment, considering the new ownership and the ideas that they probably have for the future now. But yeah, I'm gonna go with a win for us. I think we'll manage it this time.
Score prediction?
1-0.
One. Yeah. 1-0. Just one.
No, but the Newcastle game showed us that we could break down a team that tried to defend all game. And you know, for example, when Bertrand Traore scored and Grealish found him in the box, every single Newcastle player was in the box. You know, more of that against Burnley, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, they might hack you down a few more times than Newcastle did, but nonetheless, Simon, what are your thoughts heading into this game, and can we get your score prediction as well?
I think it'll be pretty similar to the home game we had them in December. I think they're a tough team to play against, and they don't create an awful lot, which was pretty much what happened when we played them at home. So just hopefully we can actually get over the line with the 3 points this time. I'm going to go, if we can get an early goal, then I think we can maybe, and they open up a little bit, we can maybe win by 2 goals. But yeah, I'll maybe go the 1-0 as well. I think we're so good defensively that if we can take the lead, I can't see Burnley coming back and getting anything off us.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go 2-0 Villa. Just feeling very confident, like we've said kind of throughout this episode of the Holtcast. I think we're able to this year kind of go into those second and third gears, and we're still able to grind out results. It's a complete parallel to last season and the season previous. It just shows that we're going in the right direction, albeit Burnley are doing very well recently, of course. Like Danny said, the win over Liverpool, they're grinding out results. I never really thought they were going to get relegated. I think a lot with their injuries earlier on, it just caught up to them. And now you're kind of seeing the typical hard fighting Burnley that are going to grind for points when they can, and you can expect that. It's always going to be a physical one, so we can see that as well. But yeah, I'll go 2-0. But yeah, I think that wraps up this edition of the Holtcast. So we'll leave it there. Of course, if you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Talk Aston Villa. If you want to find Danny on Twitter, it's at Raza Journo. And Simon, I'm having a nightmare. What's your Twitter?
It's at Sio Regan.
There we go. That's fair enough. I feel like if I would have said it, I probably would have butchered it. So maybe I'll just keep that as a usual thing. But of course, if you want to tweet us, it's at 7500 Holt. Email the podcast, holtcast@gmail.com. We'll leave it there. Thank you all for listening. Of course, if you'd be so kind, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review. And if you want to leave a comment, that's nice too. And whatever other podcasting platform you're listening to, leave a review. It's always appreciated. And it just makes others find us much easier. Like I said before, hopefully a positive result at Turf Moor on Wednesday. And don't forget, up the Villa.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.